Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Sean Broderick. He is the resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings and writes the newsletters, the Super Cycle Investor and Wealth Megatrends. Now, Sean, let's talk about some of these overall, let's say, megatrends or potential megatrends on the back of what everyone or a lot of people were looking at this week, the infrastructure bill announcement out of Biden and his administration. Now, it feels like we've been talking about an infrastructure bill for years, maybe even a decade now. We finally have one proposed. We have no idea how it's going to progress through the U.S. government. But what are you looking for in terms of sectors, resource sectors, and even resource stocks that you think will benefit from this infrastructure bill if it does go through?
Right. Well, in my publications, we have been buying stocks in anticipation of this, and those tend to be producers of things like copper, iron, steel, stuff like that, just because as you do any kind of infrastructure build out, those are stocks that should do well. We also did very well last year with like green energy, solar stocks, wind stocks, stuff like that. Sold those because those went into a decline, but they're starting to pick up again. Those are things that should do well in this infrastructure bill. I mean, if you look at some of the things that are in it, and as you mentioned, this can change a lot in Congress. We don't know what the final bill will look like, but we also know that there's some very popular stuff in there, including $621 billion for transportation. We hear every time they have an engineer on the TV, he always talks about how the U.S. infrastructure of roads, bridges, and highways is just falling apart. So they are going to fix that. They're also going to build more trains. They're going to spend $1.4 billion on alternative fuel charging stations so that, like China, we can have a network of EV charging stations and probably hydrogen charging stations because they like that for trucks because it's much quicker to actually refuel the vehicles if you use hydrogen. So they plan to have that across the country. They're also going to have $650 billion for clean water, high-speed broadband, upgraded electrical grids. We saw what happened in Texas. So you know that, you know, the electrical grid is going to be a priority. So if you can find companies that either make equipment for it or else invest in electrical grids themselves, so they're probably just going to be holding a bucket and have money poured into it anyway, that's going to be really good. Then we get $40 billion for new wastewater infrastructure, $25 billion in drinking water infrastructure, so we can finally take care of the drinking water, not only in Flint, Michigan, but many, many other small towns across America that have problems with that. And there are companies that invest in drinking water, so, you know, they might do well. And then they're also going to do lots of non-defense research. That's electric vehicle technology, that's lightweight materials, 5G, more stuff like that. So they want to invest in that. Well, so tech can do well as well. But really, in like my publications, like Gold and Silver Trader and also Super Cycle Investor, and my monthly publication, Wealth Megatrends, I hate to throw all the names out there because that kind of confuses people, but I'm just saying we're doing it in a lot of different places. We are investing in the miners that are going to make a mint on industrial metals. They are already doing very well, and especially because they have comparisons to last year, which was a terrible year for everyone. You know, their earnings growth is just off the charts. It's just really, really looking good. When you look at a company like, say, Cleveland Cliffs, their earnings this year are supposed to be up more than 1,000% compared to last year. And they're the biggest iron maker in the U.S. They also make steel. What's going to go in infrastructure? Iron and steel. It's exactly the kind of thing that you want to look for. But there's also ETFs people can invest in. Many of these stocks that will do well from infrastructure, those companies that make equipment, that kind of thing, like, say, John Deere, though I think it's called Deere & Company now, Eaton Corporation, Emerson Electric, they trade at probably more money than the average person wants to pay on a share. But you can buy ETFs that hold baskets of these great stocks that are quite affordable. And so I think that's a way that the average investor is probably going to get exposure to this.
Okay, thanks there, Sean. There's a lot of opportunities then. I just want a general comment too on the copper space, because no matter what infrastructure bill you talk about or any move in the industrial side, there's a lot of copper bulls out there that are always bumping copper and saying it is critical in any sort of build out. Where do you stand on the whole copper narrative?
Well, I have to be on the bullish side because we own three copper stocks. You know, it just makes sense. It really, really does. And I expect copper will do very well. Now, there can be other factors that enter into things. You can have good reasons why stocks underperform for a reason. For example, one foreign government starting to make grabby noises about an area where Freeport-McMoRan operates, for example. And so, you know, that's kind of weighed on the stock recently. But looking at the longer-term picture, it looks very, very good. And that's one of the ones we have exposure to. Of course, no one should buy anything just because a guy on the radio likes it. You should always do your own research, your own due diligence. And depending on your own investment profile, what works for me and my subscribers may not work for you. But there is so much opportunity here. I mean, $2.25 trillion. America has desperately needed some kind of investment in like infrastructure. And so finally, we're going to get it. So all the things that have been promised for so long and never delivered. I mean, you and me, Corey, we know how long these promises have been going on, right? So all that's been going on for a long time, never followed through. Now we finally get the follow through. The floodgates are open. It should be a great time to be investing in these areas.
Sean, let's switch focus a little bit and talk about all this green energy or the green energy stocks. These were on a run earlier. They've pulled back a little bit, but there clearly is this new narrative and a bullish narrative around clean tech or clean energy, green energy. Again, what do you think about how this all plays in? You even mentioned the whole charging station infrastructure being built out. This clearly is also a bit of a focus for the government.
Right. And so I think people can make pretty good money there. I mean, when you think about it, there was a serious charge higher in a lot of the green energy stocks after the elections last year into the first part of the year. But then they sold off hard. I mean, I'm looking at a chart of the solar ETF, which has the symbol TAN, TAN, you know, cute, right? But that came down from its high in early February, came down like 26%, which is a heck of a pullback, really is. Actually, it came down deeper than that. I think it went as low as 33%, but it's starting to come back now. It looks like it's going to break the downtrend. So this is a great time to be looking at the stocks because they sold off so hard. You know, there is a mega trend in place for green energy and also electric vehicles. We can see the changeovers coming. I run charts on this on my free e-zine, which is Wealth Wave. To find that, people can just look at wealth-wave.com. I have a free column like three times a week, and I talk about these mega trends a lot. There are massive trends that are reshaping the global economy. Green energy is one of them. Electric vehicles is another one. The two kind of combine, but they are separate trends. And as we see solar power get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, which is due to advancements in the technology and also just they learn how to manufacture things faster and cheaper. So because of those things, it just gets a lot cheaper. And then you add in new battery storage, right? Because for a while, you know, that was always a problem. Well, the sun doesn't shine at night. With all the new battery technology, that really isn't going to be as much of a factor now. So there's a lot going on. But I have to say, as long as we're talking about green energy, don't forget nuclear power. I consider that part of the green energy revolution because that is an important alternative. And certainly it's an alternative to coal, which is filthy. So people should keep that in mind as well.
Sean, are there any areas in the green energy complex that you're shying away from, though? Because there are I think a few metals or a few commodities there that have been tied in that, quite frankly, maybe don't have the same uses that some of the bulls are saying, or there's also that substitution effect that can make them almost irrelevant.
Yeah, well, you have to be careful, and we have heard a lot of hype about, say, rare earths, for example. And the problem there is that China can always crank up production and sink every rare earth manufacturer in the West if it wants to. If it wants to, and it has done that before. It's also done things like embargoed rare earths shipments against Japan and like stuff like that. And it actually threatened to do that against the U.S. when we had the trade war going on. So there is that. However, I like rare earths too. And the reason is because just like infrastructure, the U.S. government is throwing money at it, right? And so they are actually arranging to help companies with financing to build mines, to build processing plants. There's no processing plant for rare earths in the U.S. That is mind-boggling. Why don't we have one? Because China ran everybody out of business. The Pentagon realizes this is a problem, and so they are actually going to do something about it. So there are some areas which get too much excitement. About the time that the thing is a headline on, say, on like Barron's, that's when you don't want to buy it, right? Because then everybody's buying it already. But things go into favor, then they go out of favor. It's those big cycles again, which is one of the things we look at. Right now, cyclically, it's a good place for a lot of these things.
So does that mean you're buying then at this point? You see an opportunity here? Or are you waiting a little bit more, maybe for some lower prices, maybe for a bit more clarity on if the infrastructure bill will get passed?
Well, I put out recommendations to buy two stocks on Wednesday, but we're not buying everything. Like you said, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I try to buy stocks that have good fundamentals anyway. You know, I mean, I hate to chase things that are just built on like nothing but promises. Then again, I should have owned Telsa because, you know, it was built on nothing but promises. But dang, look at the thing. It's gone way back higher. So obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about all the time. But I like stocks that I can own and sleep at night, right? And certainly in the industrial metals area and in infrastructure, there are great stocks with great business models that look really good. So I don't think you should buy them all at once, but you should start making your shopping list, and you might want to buy some anyway, because yeah, we'll have zigs and zags, and you know these stocks will tank in the future when like someone says, okay, that's it, they blocked it in Congress. And yet, will the blockage be forever, or is it just something they need to work out? I think they'll work something out, not necessarily because everyone in Washington, D.C. is a nice guy, but because there's a lot of money at stake here that Wall Street can get behind. And I think they might have some say on it as well.
Okay. Well, again, this is kind of a developing topic, and I don't think it will. We will find out everything in the near term. However, there is this, I guess, renewed optimism and also renewed focus on a lot of these industrial metals and back to some of these green energy stocks and metals there. So, look, I think any attention being brought into those sectors is good, but as you said, there is going to be some volatility, and that's something we need to consider because this isn't going to be as easy as announcing the infrastructure bill and simply passing it and then all these stocks running higher.
And you don't have to buy individual stocks. There is risk there. You can buy ETFs. There is one with the symbol PAVE, which you can find my article about that on the wealthwave.com website today. And that just holds U.S. stocks that are leveraged to the infrastructure build-out. And the recent volume on that is nuts, because Wall Street sees these are exactly the stocks you should own. Some of these stocks trade for $100 a share, but that fund is only a $25 a share fund. That's exactly the kind of thing that a smaller investor can do. So if you're kind of worried about things, ETF is probably the way to go, because while you do lose some potential opportunity, you also lower your risk. So I just wanted to add that as well.
Yeah, that's a good point there too, Sean. You don't need to do quite as much research if you're diving into the individual companies, and you can eliminate some of that extreme volatility, but that can also come on the upside as well. Sean, I appreciate your time. Always great chatting with you. I'll chat with you in another couple weeks. Have a very happy Easter.
You too.